I'd like us to turn tonight to Numbers, the book of Numbers, chapter 22, and we're going to commence from the first verse, please. Book of Numbers, part of the books of Moses, of course, the chapter 22, and we're reading from the first verse. And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side Jordan by Jericho. Balak the son of Zippor saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. Moab was sore afraid of the people because they were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, Now shall this company lick up all that are round about us, as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak the son of Zippor was king of the Moabites at that time. He sent messengers therefore unto Balaam the son of Beor to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, Behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I wot that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed. And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand. And they came unto Balaam, and spake unto him the words of Balak. And he said unto them, Lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again, as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. And God came unto Balaam and said, What men are these with thee? And Balaam said unto God, Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, hath sent unto me, saying, Behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. And God said unto Balaam, Thou shalt not go with them, thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. And then if you go across to verse 22, And God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood on the path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself onto the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. The angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. The Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, What have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? And Balaam said unto the ass, Because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in mine hand, for now would I kill thee. And the ass said unto Balaam, Am not I thine ass upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, Nay. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. And the ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive. Amen. We'll end our reading at the end of verse 33. We know the Lord will add his blessing upon the reading. We entitled our message, Miraculously Hindered. Miraculously Hindered. Let's seek the Lord, please. A word of prayer before we come to the preaching of God's word. You pray the Lord might speak to your heart. Word in season for your soul this night. Lord, we thank Thee for Thy speaking voice. We thank You, Lord, for the day of Thy grace. We praise Thee, Lord, Thou hast been speaking of late. We pray, Lord, that that would intensify even this night. Lord, we thank Thee we're not interested in emotionalism. But, Lord, we are interested in the power of God's Spirit being outpoured. We're interested tonight, Lord, that Thy Spirit would come and do His own work. Thou would speak, Lord, Thou would trouble that soul, yet without Christ. Remember each soul. Thou knowest every heart. Thou knowest, Lord, the heart that has fears concerning maybe this week that lies before them. We just, Lord, commit them lovingly into Thy care. But, O God, Thou hast also said that we're not to boast ourselves of tomorrow. For Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We pray that Thou would still our hearts, solemnize our very thoughts. As we come to this passage, I pray Thou would fill us with Thy Spirit. Thou would give me words that must and shall prevail. Give us those prevailing words. Lord, have Thine own way tonight. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The nation of Israel were God's covenant people. And He had covenanted to bless them. And when the Lord blesses His people, it cannot be reversed. But unknown to Israel, as they made their way to the promised land, and as they encamped bordering the land of Moab, there was great fear amongst the inhabitants. The fear was misplaced, for it was never the intention of the Lord God to give Israel the land of Moab as their possession. But to counteract those fears and to alleviate any possibility of attack from the nation of Israel, their king by the name of Balak sought out a man by the name of Balaam that he should be employed to curse them. And just consider that all this was happening behind the backs of Israel. They were unaware of this conspiracy that was being schemed against them. But men and women, doesn't that remind us that what is unknown to us is known to the omniscient God, the God who knows all things? And consequently to realize that God is with His people even in the most difficult of times, and His protection of them extends to the unknown dangers as well as to those that are well known. But conversely, the mercy of God in keeping the sinner out of a certain destruction and lost eternity is something that while you may never give a second thought to, yet eternity itself will reveal. There was a reason why you were not permitted to go to that certain place. There was a reason why that door of opportunity didn't open before you. For I tell you, there are no mistakes with God, and nothing takes Him by surprise. And it may be that you will yet come to see that the way in which your steps were guided, as well as the doors that were shut, were all ordered by the Lord. If you want to see something of an example of that, then you have it in this man by the name of Balaam. But I have to warn you, he's a strange character. He's one who is hard to weigh up at times. He in many ways is an enigma. He's a puzzling character to work out. He's a man who talks about seeking the Lord's face on the matter. You look at the words of verse 8 that we read tonight. He said unto them, that is unto Balak's servants, lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again as the Lord shall speak unto me. He speaks that sort of terminology, and yet he knows not the Lord. He is one who may want to have a good end, but yet he doesn't want to live for God. And one fears there's many a soul exactly like Balaam today. In receiving the proposition from Balak to curse Israel, Balaam was to receive the message from God, and that message was he was not to go with them, and neither was he to curse the people of God. You look at the words of verse 12 that we read tonight, and God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them, thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. But Balaam was intent on going his own way. And that's why we find him on a journey, making that journey and hearing the message from the Lord. And that message from the Lord I bring to you in the words of verse 32. It says, and the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. And the ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless ye had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive. Balaam is a man whose way was miraculously hindered. I want you to consider with me this night the wicked heart. Oh, the scriptures remind us that God does not merely look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh upon the heart. And as God was to look upon the heart of this man, Balaam, then what he saw was a wicked and was a deceitful heart. That much can be gleaned by what we read at the end of the words of verse 32. For it says there, the narrative tells us, that God saw that his way was perverse before him. You just take that little word, perverse. It means that he was given over to wickedness. He was a man turned over to sin and to iniquity. Indeed, the same word is only used one other time in this form in the course of the Old Testament. And if you turn over to Job chapter 16 and verse 11, you have that other one example. For it says there, God hath delivered me to the ungodly and turned me over into the hands of the wicked. Job speaks of being turned over into the hands of the wicked. And that is what God was to see in Balaam. He was a man turned over unto sin. His heart was sinful and his way was reckless. And dear soul, that is how it is with many who sit under the message of the gospel this night. You see, there's a way which seemeth right unto men, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There is many a man who might put on an appearance of good, and that which is pious, and they put on even a nice suit and a nice tie, and they comb their hair, and they're found in the house of God. And yet when the Lord sees the heart, it's something completely different. It's one which is perverse, and it's one which is given over to sin. But what's more, this man Balaam was one who had his priorities in life in the wrong place. When he hears the request of Balak to come unto him and to curse Israel, there's a first refusal, because he had heard the word of the Lord and what God had spoken. But then there's another more honorable delegation that's sent, and they come to him, and Balaam is to hear their words, and those words are well-pleasing. Look at the verse 17 in this chapter. It says, for I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. There's the second proposition. And it seems that the lucre of the money is now before the mind, and indeed before the heart of this man Balaam. For that's the context of the words of verse 18 and 19 in his answer. If this to state is like this, if I can paraphrase it, that if there was offered unto him a house full of silver and of gold, well, I still could not go. But anyhow, let me ask the Lord about the matter again. That's really a paraphrase of those two verses. He had no need to seek the Lord again on the matter. God had already given the answer in verse 12. And listen, men and women, God doesn't change his mind. When something's sin, it's still sin in the eyes of God. But here was a man whose desire is for the silver and his desire is for the gold and the filthy lucre. He wants the honor, he wants the riches at the expense of obeying the word of God. The motives which were driving his heart were the possibility of the riches. And that is yet the priority that many a man or woman has, and which is the very obstacle to them receiving the message of saving grace and the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. The warning of the Lord was clear. How hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of heaven. But while it is hard, it is not impossible with God, for with God all things are possible. The message of the Savior is that our priorities, they ought to be in the right place. And what is it? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Is that what your priority is tonight? Is your affection set on the things which are eternal and the things which are heavenly? For I tell you that here was a man who had his priorities in the wrong place. They were upon the riches, not upon the Redeemer. And maybe that's a man or woman in this meeting tonight. And you might not have the riches in the bank, but that is your priority in life. And that's why you still reject the Savior. What's more, his heart was seen to be wicked because his life was one of pretense. He told the messengers that he must seek the face of the Lord, yet his heart wasn't right. And the word reminds us, if you consider with me the Matthew chapter 15 and verse 8, what the Savior said, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." His heart was still sinful and unregenerate. He's a man that's still unsaved. He never did belong to God. He's merely a pagan diviner, a prophet who could be hired. Balaam was a man who used the very terminology of a Christian. Yet he himself wasn't seen. He's a man who heard the word from the Lord. He was bidden not to go, and neither had he permission to curse Israel. Yet the word of God meant very little to this man, as you find him in verse 21, rising up and going with the princes of Moab unto Balak. His life, you see, was just one big pretense. Having all the outward appearances of being a prophet of the Lord, he's the right language, he's the right devices and desires. The man who said the words, "Let me die the death of the righteous." That's this man. The seeking of the Lord for a word, yet he wasn't saved. And if you come further with me into the account of Numbers, you will find that here was a man who sought to mix truth with error. You look at the first verse of chapter 24, and when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he went not, as at other times, to seek for enchantments, but he set his face toward the wilderness. He's a man that gave himself frequently to the enchanters and to the witchcraft. And when it came to Israel warring against the Moabites, you look at Numbers chapter 31 and the words of verse 8, "And they slew the kings of Midian beside the rest of them that were slain, namely Evi and Rekem and Zur and Hur and Ribah, 5 kings of Midian, Balaam also the son of Beor, they slew with the sword." When it came to the very bit, when all is said and done, Balaam was found on the wrong side. He was fighting against the people of God. His heart was wicked. And in Balaam there's a picture of many a soul who sits in church and under the sound of the gospel. There is a good show. There are those who have a form of godliness, yet they deny the power thereof. They may sing the hymns with gusto, and they may use the right evangelical language, but they know before God that they're still not saved, and their life is just a pretense before others and perverse before God. Oh, dear loved one, if that is you tonight, then learn the lesson well. Learn the lesson from Balaam's life that God is not mocked. And he sees what's in the heart of man. And I tell you, there's only one answer for a wicked heart. And that is God's salvation through the person and through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ wrought out at Calvary's cross. For the Lord has given you the word in Ezekiel chapter 36 and 26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. God can give you a new heart tonight. Balaam had a wicked heart. And I want you to remember that as we progress even in this passage. For from the wicked heart, I want you to see a word from heaven. When Balaam was intent to go to Balak, his journey was to be obstructed. His journey was to be hindered and brought to a halt in a most miraculous and extraordinary manner. Balaam was quite happy to set aside the word of the Lord. He was going to go his own way. And many are those who sit under the gospel, and that is also their intentions and their spirit as well. I will go my own way, preacher. I want to do my own thing. No matter what you may tell me from God's word, I want to go my way. But I tell you, dear loved one, it is a dangerous thing to fly in the face of a holy God. And Balaam was to learn that the hard way. For while he was making his way to Moab, the Lord was to open the eyes of the ass upon which he was sitting upon to see the angel of the Lord standing in front of him. And seeing the sword that was drawn, the ass was to turn aside out of the way and into the field. Isn't it ironic that the ass could see what the professional hired prophet could not see? It was then that Balaam was to smite her for the first time. And getting her back onto the way again, the ass was to see the angel of the Lord a second time. And she was to go against the wall, crushing the foot of Balaam. And she received another beating for that. The third time she could do nothing else but fall down underneath Balaam, because there was no way to turn, and his staff was to come out again against his ass. It was then that the Lord was to open the eyes of the ass. But having opened the eyes of that ass, he was also to open his mouth. So that it speaks to Balaam in verse 28. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? I want to pause there. I don't have a problem with that verse. I don't have a problem when I read that verse. For the great Creator who made all things can cause his creatures to do what he pleaseth. Didn't we notice lately of how God caused the two milch kin to go against their instinct as they took a straight path to Beth Shemesh as they carried the ark of God, and they went straight, lowering as they went, their calves taken from them at the back? Don't we believe in the God who caused that wheel to come alongside that boat in the very precise time that Jonah was thrown overboard? And God caused that creature to swallow Jonah and 3 days later to vomit him beside dry land. And here again is an instance where the sovereign God controls the very ass that is carrying Balaam. I don't have a problem with verse 28. I do have a problem with verse 29. For surely that's a more strange thing than what we read there. And Balaam said unto the ass. He starts to get into conversation with the donkey. I'm getting a little bit confused of which one's the ass now. And it wasn't until the Lord was to open his eyes that he saw the angel of the Lord and the reason why his ass had turned aside. And dear sinner, can I bring it to you like this? Unless the Lord causes your eyes to be opened to the sword of God's justice that's drawn against you and to the danger that you're in and opens your eyes to the gospel and to the only remedy for your sin in Christ, then nothing awaits you but destruction in a Christless eternity. You would do well to pray that prayer of another, Lord, open thou mine eyes. I would that your desire this evening would be like the Greeks of old, sirs, we would see Jesus. With the eyes of Balaam opened, he was to receive a word from heaven, which you will see and note was a direct word from the Lord. This was an angel of the Lord who stood before him in the way. And that is another way of stating that it was one of those Old Testament appearances of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior himself. It was the Lord who spoke to him directly in verse 32. And the angel of the Lord said unto him. Dear loved one, that's a mercy. That's a mercy of God. There are, of course, other times where this happened in the scriptures, none less than that night in which Belshazzar was feasting in his palace. Oh, he was having a good time. He was reveling amongst his cronies. He was reveling in his sin when suddenly a hand appears. And the hand starts to write on the wall. And the message on the wall was, thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. God spoke directly to the king. And God speaks to the unsaved through his word. And he has spoken directly to your heart, dear loved one. And the message is the same to your soul. Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. And I want to tell you that although it may be not a pleasant message that you're going to hear, yet it's a mercy of the Lord. It's eternally worse. If you can come into the house of God Sabbath by Sabbath, and you can sit under the gospel, and you can hear the voice of God to your soul being spoken about, and yet you can sit there and you don't know that voice speaking to your soul. You don't know God speaking to your heart. Ah, listen, my friend, that's eternally worse. For the psalmist in Psalm 28 and verse 1, he spoke of it as those to whom God is silent to are those that go down to the pit. And I would think carefully. And I would think very solemnly, if you can sit in a gospel meeting such as this tonight and any other night, and yet you're not troubled of heart, and the Lord doesn't speak to your soul, and you think that's good. The Lord doesn't speak to your soul, you're like those that go down to the pit. But I want you to see also that this word from heaven was God dealing with Balaam. You'll note that there is a progression here. You follow it with me. First, you'll see the angel of the Lord, verse 22, stood in the way. Next, you'll see the angel of the Lord, and he stood in the path of the vineyards, verse 24, and in that path there was a wall to the right and there was a wall to the left. Next, the angel went further, for it says in verse 26 those very words, and he stood in a narrow place with no room to turn. And oftentimes the Lord's dealings has been the very same with your soul. The Lord has stood in the way. The Lord has caused you to have your back against the wall so that you could might consider his word. Aye, the Lord has went further. He's went further with you with many a soul. And he stood in a place which is narrow, and he's brought you into a narrow place, and there was no room for you to do anything. You were confronted face on with the warnings of the Lord. And those times have been God dealing with your soul. Just as God was dealing with the life of this man, he dealt with him in such a way that even his very ass was caused to be submissive to the voice of its creator. But sadly, it must also be seen that the word from heaven to his soul was one which was disregarded. He never paid heed to the warnings. And Balaam stands as an example of a man who never sought the Lord in salvation. He was a man whose way was marked out as a way to hell. You see, he's mentioned in the New Testament. Let me show you. 2 Peter 2, in the words of verse 15. You'll read there, it says, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass, speaking with man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. There's the way of Balaam. You turn over to Jude. Not as he only mentioned once, but he's mentioned twice. Jude verse 11. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. He sought the riches. That was his motivation. My dear loved one, don't follow his example. And especially how he treated the word from heaven. But instead, heed the scriptures where it states, today, if you'll hear my voice, harden not your heart. Where it says in the book of Hebrews, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh. And God's speaking. Let me show you finally tonight the way hindered. You see, the angel of the Lord was to make it known unto Balaam that he went out to withstand him as an adversary. And the reason being, as we have considered verse 32, because thy way is perverse before me. In the course of this passage, you've come to learn that the angel of the Lord was to hinder Balaam in his way, not once, but indeed three times over. He stood with that outstretched sword, and three times Balaam was saved from sudden death and destruction by the actions of his animal. Let me ask you, has the Lord not hindered your way into further and deeper sin by the actions of someone else or something else that you couldn't quite explain at the time? And there was that strange occurrence in your life, and you wondered, why did it happen? And the veil has now been drawn back, and you've seen that the Lord is in it, and he's hindered your way to hell. But you know the greatest hindrance to you on the road to hell? It is that hillside where hung yonder tree. Outside the city walls of Jerusalem where the dear Lord was crucified. If you will proceed at breakneck speed to the caverns of the damned, then you will do so, men and women, having to bypass Calvary. For it is Christ, and it is Christ and Him crucified, that you hear preached to your heart week by week, and you see lived out in the life of loved ones throughout the rest of the week. Balaam was hindered in his way many times. But this hindrance was the mercy of the Lord. He could have been slain, but the Lord had opened the eyes of the ass to see that angel standing with sword drawn. Sudden destruction was just before him, but he was spared. And that speaks to me of the mercy. And that speaks to me of the great patience of the Lord, a man who deserved justly the judgment of the Lord. And I want to tell you, so does every one of us this night. We're all those rebels in the sight of God. And if God were to damn us in hell, He would be just in doing so. But His mercy was such that He gave His only begotten Son, that He might go and that He might stand in the place of judgment. And there upon that cross of Calvary, it was God who was to unsheath the sword of His justice against His only Son. And it was plunged into Him as He died in the sinner's guilty room and in the sinner's stead. He poured forth His life's blood as an atonement for our sin, and thereby tonight the saved sinner can sing like the hymn writer, "All for my sake, my peace to make, now sleeps that sword for me." Tell me, do you know the mercy of God personally in your soul? Have you been to Jesus? Have you accepted Him as your Savior and been saved? What a mercy that God has hindered your way again if you're not saved, so that you can hear the claims of the gospel afresh to your own heart. The way of Balaam, it was hindered miraculously. We've already spoken of the ass, not only seeing the angel, but speaking to Balaam. That was a miracle. But no greater miracle than that God gave His only Son to die the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. No greater miracle than that Christ willingly trod that winepress alone and He set His face to go to Calvary. No greater miracle than that the salvation that Christ purchased there on that cross, by this perfect obedience, by the shedding of His own precious blood, can be your salvation tonight in an instant of a moment. That's a miracle. You can know forgiveness of sins now. You can have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ now. You can be saved tonight. You can have the assurance of a home in heaven, never to feel the wrath of a thrice holy God against your sin, never to feel the flames of that judgment against you. You can know that deliverance tonight now. But I wonder, will you come? Will you come to Christ and be saved? Will you repent of your sin and your pretense? Will you turn to the Savior by faith and experience the miracle of the new birth in your soul tonight? Or will you say again, "Preacher, I'll go my own way"? The young man in the city, he wanted to go to a nightclub. That nightclub was called the Gates of Hell. He stopped a man in the street to ask directions. And that man, without any application in the gospel, he simply made reply to that young fella. He said, "Oh, you're pretty close to it. He said, go down the street, turn right, and go past Calvary. And once you go past Calvary, you can't miss it. Just turn the corner and you're at it. You see, the church, the little church on the corner, was called Calvary Baptist. And that young man was told, you just go past Calvary and you'll be at it. I'm not telling you a fairy tale story. That's a true story. That nightclub was in the city of Chicago. Oh, my friend, young man, or might I say older man or woman, if you want to get to the literal gates of hell, just go on the way you're going. Go past Calvary. And you'll soon be there. For you see, Calvary has been uplifted before you tonight again as the only answer for your wicked heart. Will you come? Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer and trust the Lord will bless his word to the salvation of your soul if you're not saved tonight. You know where you are with God. You've seen Balaam. You've heard him speak the right language, and yet he knew not God. Oh, my friend, heed the warning. Coming to the free church will never save you. Putting on a good appearance will never save you. Speaking the right evangelical words or language will never save you. It's repentance that you need. Repentance of your sin, faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you come tonight? I'm here afterwards. Your servant for God's sake. Gladly I will open the scriptures to you and point you to the Savior while others are coming. Will you come? Father in heaven, we thank thee for the solemn message of the gospel. Lord, we realize that we need to heed the warning of Balaam's life. And oh God, how he had that good appearance and how he spoke about meeting with the Lord. And yet he was never saved. His way was perverse. And oh God, how the ass's eyes were opened to spare him from the sword of justice on three occasions. Lord, we thank thee it has brought us to the cross. We praise thee tonight that the sword of divine justice was thrust into the altogether lovely one. The sinner tonight can have peace with God because Christ finished the work and he paid the judgment for our sin. O God, speak on when the preacher's voice is silent. Bring souls to Calvary this night. Hear this, our prayer. Part us in thy fear and favor. For we ask these things in our Savior's precious and all-worthy name. Amen.